Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. We're going to start there, I believe. Turn to your neighbor and say good morning. Come on now. Wake up. All right. On Thursday, Barbara Lawrence texted me. Barbara, raise your hand. Make sure everybody knows you. She said, "Preacher, Charlie Kirk reminds me of Stephen in the Bible." And I responded to her, "Yes, that is a great comparison." And the Lord started working on my heart. And I started recognizing the similarities, as she mentioned. And the Lord laid on my heart this message. The similarities of Charlie Kirk's life with Stephen in the Bible is really incredible. Stephen was a Spirit-filled servant of the early church. He was chosen as a deacon to care for practical needs in the church. Charlie was a modern-day Christian leader. He made no apology for defending biblical truth and conservative values. Stephen boldly proclaimed Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. Charlie called people to courage, faith, moral clarity. He just called upon them to think biblically in a culture that is so hostile to Christianity. Stephen faced hostility from religious leaders who resisted the truth. Charlie was criticized and attacked in the public square for his convictions. Stephen was stoned to death. He became the first Christian martyr. Charlie was assassinated on Wednesday while speaking publicly. His life was cut short by violence. Stephen's death scattered believers, spreading the gospel to the far outreaches of just Jerusalem. His forgiveness of his killers reflected Christ on heart. Remember Jesus on the cross, what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen said something very similar. We're going to read it later. Charlie's voice and influence shaped a generation of Christians to be bold in their faith and in their convictions. His death, I believe, will galvanize many to carry forward his message. Both were bold voices for truth in hostile environments. Both were silenced by violence, yet they left behind a witness that's going to outlive them. Both deaths serve as a catalyst for courage among us as believers. I hope you will be bold in your stand for Jesus from this point on, and that it will make us courageous. Their lives remind us that not only does faithfulness often comes at a cost, but also how God uses even tragedy to advance his kingdom. We've seen it time and time again. Charlie's wife made this statement, "Now and for all eternity, Charlie will stand at his Savior's side wearing the glorious crown of a martyr." She's referring to the crown of life mentioned in James chapter 1. And I believe Stephen and Charlie will both receive this crown in heaven. Let's look at the biblical account of Stephen's life. And we're going to see what happens right after Stephen becomes a deacon. Number one, he served among the people. Look at the last part of verse 8 in Acts chapter 6. He did great wonders and miracles. Say the next three words with me. Ready? Among the people. Man, he got to work. He mingled. He was visible to the people in Jerusalem. He could have stayed home. "Hey, I'm just going to attend to my duties and mind my own business. I'm going to stay safe." But that's not what he did. He instead served among the people. He realized that there were numerous people around him who did not have a relationship with Jesus. By the way, let me remind you, There are numerous people around us that don't know Jesus. Can I hear an amen right there? And it's our job to be the church, to be the light in their lives. Those people were lost in need of a Savior, just like those that are around us. So he went into the streets, man. He went into the marketplaces. He went to the temple courts. He went everywhere mingling with the masses. He was on the front lines among the people, visible, vocal, boldly proclaiming the truth. And of course, that means he was not always popular. Charlie served among the people as well. Wow, you're talking about a bold messenger. He went on college campuses, not Christian colleges, y'all, public universities that have been indoctrinated with liberal theology or ideology, all kinds of ideas and just off-base woke thinking and all that. Charlie was not ashamed to take any of their questions, and he would respond biblically. You may say, "Preacher, I'm at church this morning." Let me just tell you, y'all, that's not enough if we're going to make an impact on this world. Now, I'm glad you're in church. This is the place to come and worship Jesus. That's what we've done this morning. This is the place to thank him for your salvation. How many are more thankful today than you were yesterday? Amen. This is the place to get recharged and refreshed. But then we're supposed to go out and be the light of the world. Mingle with the people. Compel them to come in. Go out into the highways and hedges. Share our story to this dark world on how Jesus has saved us and we have a home in heaven. Hey, we got to share the gospel of truth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Stephen was not ashamed of that. Charlie was not ashamed of that. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. And man, others have got to see Jesus in us through the way that we live, through the way that we've been transformed. There's something different about them. They ought to be saying that about us, just like they did about Stephen and Charlie. Number two, people could not resist his spirit. Now, some of those Jewish leaders, man, they were concerned over the successes of these faithful disciples. And Stephen was a leading figure in this growing movement. They decided to confront him publicly. Verse 9 talks about how they started disputing or debating with Stephen. They rose up and argued with him. Well, let me just tell you, their plan exploded in their faces. They were made to look foolish. Look at verse 10. And they were not able to resist or stand against the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They humiliated themselves. And Stephen was speaking truth and bearing fruit. Every Christian ought to speak truth, and we ought to be bearing fruit. I see that in Stephen's life. I see it in Charlie's life. There's too much, and that's just too much for critics to hear. They can't stand the truth, and they can't stand that you're getting a following, and people are coming to Christ as a result of your life and ministry. So Charlie was a great debater. Have you ever watched some of his videos? It's amazing. He fascinated me with his response. His words made an impact on people. They also could not resist his wisdom and the Spirit of God that was upon him. Number three, there were false witnesses and accusations. Here we see the Jews attacked Stephen with lies. Anybody ever told a lie about you? If it hadn't happened, it's going to. We need to be prepared for it. Among the wheat, there are also the tares, the faults, and boy, they're here to wreck and ruin our church. There's going to be lies. There's going to be lies even from Christians that know the Lord. We get a nod on our will about something, and we're going to lie about somebody. Look at verse 11. Then they suborned or secretly instigated. They persuaded men to lie about Stephen, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses." Did Stephen do that, y'all? No. "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against God." Stephen didn't do that. Look at verse 13. And set up false or lying witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak. In other words, he's always speaking blasphemous words against this holy place, the temple they're referring to, and the law. Remember the law of Moses. They could not refute the truth, so they embraced lies. Since they could not argue against the message Stephen was giving, they instead attacked the messenger. A lot of times that's what happens. When you can't refute the truth, you got to attack the messenger. They were interested in only one thing. We need to silence this old deacon named Stephen. How much lower can men sink, man? They were attempting to destroy a man and his ministry that God had given him. There were all kinds of attacks and accusations made against Stephen and also against Charlie. He had numerous death threats. He was lied about all the time. All right, number four. Then we see they stirred up the people. Look at verse 12. That we're still in Acts 6. They stirred up or roused up the people and the elders and the scribes and came up on him, caught him, and brought him to the council. In other words, they raised a commotion. They worked the crowds up. They whipped the crowds up into a frenzy. Enemies of truth will always appeal to the people by false accusations against those who preach truth. Do y'all agree with that? Let me repeat it. Enemies of truth will always appeal to the people by false accusations against those who are preaching the truth. Slander and rumor always agitates a crowd. There were groups that opposed Charlie publicly. He had enemies on social media that always kept things stirred up. We know all about that in these days. So the people were stirred up. Number five, the truth is preached. After Stephen was caught, he tells those religious leaders how they rejected their God-sent leaders, how they rebelled against God, how they had broken God's law repeatedly, how they had despised their temple, how they had stubbornly resisted their God, how man's dead traditions had replaced God's living truth, how Jesus had come to fulfill the law. Can I hear an amen right there? How they had rejected Jesus and killed their own Messiah as the only way of salvation. Stephen basically said, come to your senses and accept the truth. You ever feel like shaking somebody? Come on, man, get it. Come to your senses. Look in verse 51 of chapter 7. Go to chapter 7. He called them, oh boy, are you ready for this? You think I'm a tough preacher? Stiff-necked, that means stubborn, uncircumcised in heart and ears. What's that mean? Heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Woo! He calls them stubborn, heathens, and you deaf. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers or ancestors also did. So do you. Hey, I'm here to tell you, Stephen did not back down, and Charlie didn't back down either. He spoke the truth. And let me just tell you, look up this way. Many people today can't handle the truth. That's a famous movie line, isn't it? You can't handle the truth, all right? Don't look it up right now. Wait till you get home, all right? How many believe truth is still truth? Whether we can handle it or not. There is only one way to Jesus. Now, you're going to hear a lot of different things outside these walls, but you're only going to hear one way in these walls, and that is Jesus is the only way. We are all sinners who fall short. We all deserve a place called hell. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But, praise God, He sent His only begotten Son to die on that old rugged cross, shed His blood, and then all we have to do is accept Him as our Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what does it say? Thou shalt be saved. Do you know that this morning? Do you have that assurance that you're a sinner? There's a penalty for sin. Christ made a way for us. We can avoid eternal separation from God. We can avoid a place called hell if we'll just place our faith in our risen Lord and Savior. They not only killed him, he died, he was buried, but thank God he rose again. We serve a living Savior. Now, do you believe that truth this morning? That he is the only way? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus? Number six, the Jewish leaders were cut to the heart. Woo! You ever been sitting in church? And I pray to God every one of you can say this, but I'll get on something and all of a sudden, whoop, your heart is ripped in two. I've heard people say, "Preacher, you stepped on my toes." You know what I'm taking that as? They were convicted, right? What the Word of God said ripped me to shreds today, preacher. I'm cut to the heart. Look at verse 54 of chapter 7. When they heard these things, remember he just called them stiff-necked, stubborn, heathen, rotten to the core. Woo, they were cut to the heart. They were infuriated by Stephen's accusation. What's the next phrase say? They gnashed on him with their teeth. Man, they shook their fist at him in rage. Can you see the picture? They were so furious that Stephen dared to speak to them in this way. Can you see them standing up, waving clenched fists towards Stephen, yelling, shouting, grinding their teeth? Anybody grind their teeth while they sleep? That's a terrible sound. But they're enraged. I'm not trying to be funny because this is not a funny scene. But they're rising up against him. It was really a scene out of hell. How many believe that? Were these people being led by God or by Satan? Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me. Stephen told the truth, and it was painful. They didn't want to hear it. He stepped on their toes, cut them to the heart. I tell you, as Charlie spoke, people heard the truth, and I believe they fell under conviction. Their woke ideas were like, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. And so it's obvious when you share God's word, how many still believe this? It is quick. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut your heart into pieces. I still believe that. That is the power of the word of God. Number seven, I love this one. They covered their ears. La, 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 la. I am not listening to you anymore. You ever done that when you're in a fight with your brother or sister? That's when I used to do it. My twin brother get on my nerves. La, 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 I can't hear you no more. Covered my ears. Look at verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped or covered their ears and ran up on him with one accord. Basically, they said, enough. We've heard enough of this guy. They didn't want to hear another word from this guy that they hated, Stephen. The people were all ears. Now listen, listen to this real quick. Turn up your miracle ears. You ready? The people were all ears when it came to listening to juicy gossip, lies, accusations against Stephen. And y'all, it's still going on in 2025. It's still going on in this church. Woo, tell me some more. Give me some juicy gossip. Tell me another lie. Tell me another accusation. They listened intently, but listen, but when Stephen dared to defend himself and proclaim truth, woohoo, they covered their ears. I don't want to hear it. Don't confuse me with the facts because my mind is made up. You ever had that attitude? They didn't want to listen to the truth, man. Charlie was relaying. Mm-mm. They've been under conviction. And people that opposed Charlie, they did the same things, basically covered their ears. Number eight, they had to silence him. Chapter 7, verse 58 and 59, and cast or dragged him out of the city. Read the next three words with me. Ready? And stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes or coats at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Ooh. Now, who in the world saw? Well, later he's called Paul. Y'all know who they're talking about? And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So the charges were false. The treatment of Stephen was horrendous. They stoned him to death. Many threatened to kill Charlie through the years, but finally Tyler Robinson followed through with it on Wednesday. They had to silence him. Number 9. Ooh, I love this part. Someone was standing up on his behalf. Look at verse 55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Can you get the picture? As Stephen is being stoned, all of a sudden he looks up, woohoo, and gets a glimpse of heaven. And he sees the glory of God, and he sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I see Jesus up there in heaven. He's in the place of honor. Jesus stood up to honor one of his servants. Does that bless your heart? He is well pleased with Stephen. That's incredible. Stephen's final words are in verse 60, chapter 7. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's very similar to Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The rest of the verse says, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. So here's a godly man, laid down his life for the cause of Christ. Man, I believe Jesus was well pleased with both Stephen and Charlie as they were killed witnessing for their Savior. All right, then look at chapter 8, verse 2. It says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation, mourning over him. So these men gathered around his grave that day. Man, they shed tears. There was sorrow. There was grief. They talked about him. They missed him. Why? Because the church on earth had lost a champion. Did we lose a champion this week, y'all? We did. We've already heard so many speak of Charlie Kirk. There's going to be a funeral service next Sunday in Arizona. Then Charlie will be laid to rest. There's going to be a lot of mourning. Some wonderful things are going to be said about him. And I think it's going to sound a lot like this. You say, preacher, what do you know about Stephen and his life? Go back to chapter 6, and I'll just give you 4 quick points. Verse 3 refers to him as a man of honest report. Stephen was a good man. Charlie was a good man. Their honesty was unquestioned. They were respected by others. They had personal integrity. Can this be said about you? Unblemished character. You ever heard it referred to as squeaky clean? I don't know about you. I want to be squeaky clean in the sight of others. Avoided evil. Concerned about others. Helpful. A servant. From everything I've heard about Charlie Kirk, he's got the same traits in his life. He was a man of honest report, just like Stephen. He was a good man. Number 2, verse 3 also mentions in verse 5 and verse 8 that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Not only was it mentioned one time, it was mentioned 3 times. So he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was a godly man. Not only was he a good man, he was a godly man. He had God's power when he preached. He had God's power when he served tables. Do you realize you need God's power when you're doing menial tasks at your home or at the church? Come on, church, are you with me? Oh, no, I just need it when I teach or sing or preach. No, no, no. You need it every moment of every day, surrendering to his power. Full means to be controlled by. So here is a God-controlled man yielding to the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of death. Verse 15 of chapter 7 says, and all that sat in the council Look steadfastly, man, they're staring him down. Look at the next phrase. They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Y'all, is this blessing your heart? His face became so bright, like an angel's face. Man, you had to be full of the Holy Spirit during that time. This is grace under pressure. The very glow of his face told everyone that he was a servant of God and that he was full of the Holy Spirit. No doubt about it. There was no hate in his face. There was not horror in his face. He knew if he's going to die, woohoo, things are going to get better anyway. Amen. I got glory to look forward to. There was heaven on his face. I've talked to y'all. I've told you before, some restaurants I go to and the waitress comes to the table, whoo, I can just see a glow about them. Have you ever experienced that with somebody in your life? And they start talking. They're so sweet. And I'll ask them, can I just ask you, are you a Christian? They perk up and they say, yes, I am. That is a glow that God allows on our faces. I think Charlie Kirk had that glow. And of course, we see Stephen had that glow as well. Number three, verse 3 of chapter 6 also talks of Stephen being full of wisdom. He was a good man, godly man. He was a gifted man. He had discernment. Now, not all good men and not all godly men are wise, but Stephen made sensible decisions. He had common sense. He knew how to handle things. I'm amazed at how Stephen and Charlie handled difficult situations and stood on the Word of God. It's amazing to me. Number 4, in chapter 6, it also says that Stephen was full of faith. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He's a gifted man. He's a glorifying man. Our faith glorifies God. Say that with me. Ready? Our faith glorifies God. I still believe faith can move mountains. I still believe that we need to be trusting in God, even when things around us are shaking. Stephen did not allow things to rattle him. He lived by faith and not by sight. He also shared his faith with others. He won the lost to Jesus. Charlie won many to Jesus through his teaching and through his life as well. Do you realize, now I'm going to apply it to you. Are you ready? Do y'all realize that a lost world watches us in our living and in our dying to see if our faith is real? They're watching you. You ever seen them cameras and there's a sign underneath, we're watching you? You say, preacher, I can get by with stuff. Nobody's ever going to find out. Oh, no. God will reveal it one day. And people are watching you. They know if you're real or not. At least one man was affected that day. How many believe God never wastes the blood of his saints? Right? Saul was there that day. And upon hearing Stephen say, I see Jesus in heaven, I can imagine Saul looking up. Are y'all with me? Look at me. I don't see nothing. I don't see what Stephen sees. But buddy, I'd like to. My heart's cold. Man, I got an empty heart. Saul heard Stephen pray, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Saul heard Stephen ask forgiveness for those responsible for his death. Now, y'all remember Saul had killed, imprisoned, beat up numerous Christians. But something happened that day. Saul never forgot that event. He heard Stephen's message. He heard his prayers. He saw his death. He saw Stephen's angelic face. And boy, that face burned in his heart. Since Stephen was such a tremendous witness for Jesus, this prepared Saul when Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road. Don't you think Saul was more prepared to meet Jesus after experiencing what he did with Stephen? Yes. We affect those around us. People are watching. By the way, the young ones are watching you. The generation behind are watching us, older generations, on how we handle stuff, how we deal with difficulties, how we respond to things. Now, let me just tell you, God does not call all of us to be martyrs. Are y'all in agreement there? But he does call all of us to be living sacrifices. In some respects, it's harder to live for Christ than it is to die for Christ. I'm saying if you're going to be real, you're going to be full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit and all these things, and you want to glorify Jesus with your life, sometimes that's harder to do than to die for him. But I'll tell you this, if you're living for him as you ought to, you won't have any trouble dying for him one day. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So I just want to encourage you. The blood of the martyrs is indeed the seed of the church. That's a famous statement. The blood of the martyrs is indeed the seed of the church. Stephen was the first martyr. The voices of these two men were silenced, Charlie and Stephen. But the truth of God cannot be contained. Y'all believe that? The truth of God cannot be contained. The enemy thought that silencing Charlie would end his message. Let me let you in on a secret. Satan, our enemy, was mistaken. Charlie equipped young people to love their country, defend their faith, never back down in the face of hostility. He wasn't perfect. No servant of God is, but he was faithful to his calling. And so I pray that Charlie's death will stir up a new wave of young believers in America to pick up the mantle that Charlie had, carry the truth further than he could ever do alone by himself. The torch has been passed. You ever seen those relay races? And the one comes behind the other, boy, they got to get that transfer just perfect. I'm telling you, this morning or this week, the torch was passed on to Bible-believing Christians to stand up for truth like Charlie Kirk did, like Stephen did. Now you got to decide. Last question, look up this way. Are you going to shrink back in fear, or are you going to step forward with courage? Let's bow our heads in prayer. The torch has been passed. Now you got to decide. You're going to shrink back in fear. You're going to step forward with courage. We're going to have an invitation. We are going to have an invitation. Because just like Stephen got out in the midst of people and served, I want you to act. Not just sit on your blessed assurance and say, oh, that's all fine and good. He was such a good man. What are you going to do about it? You going to act?